from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I was worried about you.
I know. It was the weather. Very, very busy. Well, you know what? Later this week, I saw that we're going to have sunshine. It's going to be back into the mid-70s, and there's going to just be days and days of sun. So right now, your lawns are getting a little bit of help, which they need by now. And then sunshine's back, so I'm good.
Funny you say that, Ursula. Funny you say that about the lawns.
You're getting brown already?
No, absolutely not. My grass looks like the East. You know that you know the Easter basket. They put the little Easter grass in the bottom.
Yes, that's
how my grass looks. It looks nice and green.
Yeah, this is the time of year when it looks the best, actually. Right?
Yeah. I was out there this morning and I was looking at my flowers and I was just so excited. I'm glad it's getting nice and moisturized.
I have to interject. It's Heather. How much I love how domestic G is becoming.
I know.
You just get that green thumb. And it's awesome, G. Love you.
Hey, appreciate you. Well, since I'm on a roll right now, let me continue this. Let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And unfortunately, we have to actually talk about a tragic story. You heard it in Heather's newscast. We want to dive into it a bit more. A Seattle police officer who had just finished her shift was killed early yesterday while she was helping at the scene of a three-car crash on I-5 near downtown Seattle. 38-year-old Lexi Harris had been with the department for 5 years. She died at the scene. And what happened afterward is beyond words, really. Someone who was involved in the collision stole her private car and took off from the scene.
The loss of any officer is tragic. Losing an officer that simply stopped to render assistance, simply out of a sense of their duty, only to have their vehicle stolen after being struck and killed, only makes this tragedy that much worse. Really speaks to where we are as a society, where we have such callousness when it comes to the loss of life.
State Patrol Captain Ron Mead says the car was later found abandoned, is being held now for evidence. Lexi's father told the Seattle Times he's not surprised that his daughter had stopped to help people when she was already off duty. He says she treated everyone with compassion, often stopping on the streets to talk with homeless people. She also had a podcast called The Leaderist, in which it was about improving the relationship between police and the communities they serve.
Yeah, friend of mine told me that I've never met her before. I'm hearing that she was an amazing woman, right? My heart goes out to her family and loved ones and friends. It is just a tragic story to hear about this. And this is what really stood out to me in this is the fact that she was done with her shift, Ursula. She was done, did not have to stop. She was on her way home, but just being the caring, loving person that she was, according to what people were saying, both in and out of her uniform, she wanted to stop off and help others. And outside of that, to even talk about it, it's just really sad. And it's really like, why people like that, who are such great people, have to go in such a situation like that.
Agree. So like you, my heart goes out to her family, her colleagues, and the community. The Seattle Police Department, we've talked about morale already. She was someone who'd been there for 5 years but had made an impact. And that's just morale-wise, it's like, how much can you take? And I'm just devastated for her family to find out that, yes, like you said, it was raining. She was already done with her shift. So in my opinion, she did die in the line of duty. She may have been off duty at the time, but she died in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. Her death should be treated as such. She could have kept on driving, which is what most people would do. I think I would do that. I would call and say, you know, someone needs help over here. But she stopped because she thought she could help. She had such a strong sense of duty, no matter how tired she was or how bad the weather was. She could have gone home, but she stopped to help and was killed. But I want to say one other thing. Captain Mead said it correctly. The fact that someone sees that she is dying or dead on the highway, and their first thought is to jump into her car and take off, that is total depravity. It is sickening. But I want to say one thing. I think there are more people like Lexi in the world. And we have to remember that Lexi stopped. That is, we can say and just go, oh, this is how society is today. No, this is how some people in society are. But I think most people should look at Lexi as the model and say, you know, what can I do? What can I do in a situation like this? And I'm just, I'm really sorry for her family and her colleagues at SPD. It was an especially violent weekend in the Puget Sound area. Two men were killed. Two others were seriously injured in a major shootout in a White Center parking lot on Friday. Cairo 7 TV's Deborah Horn spoke to some witnesses.
Lindsay Young said she was dropping off food for a friend when she heard the gunshots coming from the parking lot at the Paradise Cafe.
So I ducked in behind the vehicle, and all of a sudden you hear a white car crash into a couple cars and into the next building across the street. And like it sounded like about 100 rounds went off.
One of those rounds shattered the window of a business across the street.
They shot through the window.
Of your place?
Yeah.
The owner says she was in her break room when the bullets came flying in.
Had I actually been up in the front of the shop, I would have been hit.
One of the victims, Horace Anderson, is the father of a teen killed last year at CHOP. His brother, Horace's brother, was also shot and is still in critical condition. And they are part of a grim statistic. 16 homicides in King County so far this year compared to 24 homicides in all of 2020.
A couple weeks ago or last week, I think we were talking about as the summer starts to approach, and all the time, usually every year when the summer starts to approach, there's kind of like, you know, people are getting out and about. There seems to kind of crime goes up a little bit. You kind of hear about shootings and those things. But we in particular talked about what it's going to be like coming out of COVID, especially this summer. And unfortunately, it is trending upward when it comes to crime, Ursula, and shootings, not just here locally, but across the country. We had a devastating weekend when it comes to crime. As a matter of fact, they're talking about right now the total number of mass shootings is about, not saying that this was a mass, but mass shootings right now is about 40% higher than at this point last year in 2020, 65% higher than it was in 2019. We have a very bad problem here in this country, and it, what happened over there in White Center is tragically sad to hear about.
Well, you said you don't know if this was a mass shooting. Yeah, in fact, it is. The definition of a mass shooting is four or more. And in this case, there were at least four. Given the evidence and the history of what has happened in that area of White Center, this appears to be a gang or drug or both related shootout, right? And in November, do you remember the King County Sheriff's Department got rid of its gang unit?
Yeah.
And we had Councilman Reagan Dunn on at the time, and we agreed with him that it was not a wise move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that.
And, or more recently, I think. So why is it so hard to have deputies dedicated to addressing gang violence? So in this, all this talk about defunding police. No, we need to be looking at what is it where and where are the areas where we need to have more emphasis. And I don't think that getting rid of a gang unit is a wise move, unless someone can tell me otherwise. But that doesn't make sense to me. And you mentioned a long, hot summer. We are just coming out of the pandemic. More people are living in poverty. More people are addicted to drugs. There's not enough law enforcement to stop the criminal behavior. There aren't enough incentives and help for people to get out of the gang life. And more of the wrong people have access to guns. So, like you, I am worried about this summer. He is a rock star in the restaurant world, a two-time James Beard Award winner who had Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan fawning all over him.
You know, we've got Tom Douglas in the house. We got Eduardo. If you haven't been to his restaurants, I'm high on him. And I knew he was going to be here today, so I have a little treat for you, too. I won't read the whole thing, but I will tell you this is Chef Eduardo Jordan Day.
But today, Eduardo Jordan is accused of sexual harassment by at least 15 women who've worked with him. As of yesterday, all of his employees at his Seattle restaurants have quit. The Seattle Times did an extensive investigation into Jordan, who, again, is a two-time James Beard Award winner. He's got so many other. It's like the Pulitzer Prize of the restaurant industry. New York Times dubbed his June Baby restaurant in the Ravenna neighborhood, which is close to my house, the hottest new Southern restaurant in the country in 2018. There were a couple times when we tried to get in. The lines out of the restaurant were so long. As he was skyrocketing to fame, though, nearly 30 people who have spoken to the Seattle Times say he was harassing or inappropriately touching his employees or other women in the local restaurant industry. 10 women say as recently as 2019, he made sexual comments about their breasts or would come up to them and hug them from behind. Jordan is denying these allegations of sexual comments. He says he doesn't remember most of the accounts of inappropriate touching, but in an interview he did say, "I am apologetic for anything that I wasn't perfect at or being a human. But other than that, I think there's a misrepresentation of my work environment and who I am."
Can I take you into my brain, into my thoughts, Ursula, about when I woke up on Sunday morning and I saw the headline right there, Seattle Times. I thought, whoa, that's the first thing I thought. And so as I click on it and I got ready to read it, and I don't know if any of you ever done this before, but let me admit something. I thought, okay, well, this headline is something else, right? But I wonder, let me read into this. And maybe when I'm done reading, maybe there's more to this story. Well, Ursula, when I was done reading, I could not believe, like, when it says 15 women and then all of the stories and what's being talked about and after, and then afterwards, then later on that day, come to find out that there were employees that said, "Nope, we're done. We're not working. We're out of here." It was a topic that I talked about a lot yesterday, and it was something that I was shocked to read and hear about.
What were you talking about? Why were you feeling the way you were going into the story?
Well, get
right into it, because I'm going to ask you about something.
Yeah. I was talking about it because he's very known. I mean, very known in the philanthropy world. I mean, you start talking about some of his food, June Babies, an opportunity to go get some of his meals. Maybe some of these dinners and events have been catered by his restaurant and him being that chef. And so he has been talked about and revered for all of his work.
Can I add something here? I'm just going to get right to the point. Because there were some women. Okay, so Eduardo Jordan is black, and he is someone who has been like skyrocketing to fame, and there were women who said, "I really didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to undermine the success of a talented black chef in an industry that doesn't have many of them." So for a long time, they wanted to keep quiet because it was like, oh my gosh, you know, we are white and now we're going to be accusing this black man who is suddenly, you know, famous and riding this big wave of fame. You know, I think that played a big role in it. In the reluctance for people to come forward. But now they came forward, and it's hard to overlook the fact that 30 people are saying
15.
The same thing. And
it's 15
people
isn't
it? Who, 30 people spoke to the Seattle Times and had stories. 15 people say he actually sexually harassed them. Now, again, you're innocent until proven guilty. Sure. No one has filed charges. No one has filed any civil suits. But it doesn't look good. And his apology is appalling.
Now, okay. Now that you brought that up, when I was reading and some of the things that was being said, it was like, hey, yeah, maybe that night I probably shouldn't have done that and went in for that kiss and stuff like that. I'm like, whoa, this is kind of, it's a little graphic with the details.
This sounds like Andrew Cuomo, and we were hard on Andrew Cuomo. This sounds like anyone who is, I mean, you know, whether it's politicians, whether it's people in different industries, it's not okay. You need to be called out, and it doesn't matter what color of your skin. Bad behavior is bad behavior, and you need to be called out. And I just want to ask, why is it in 2021? Okay, now, some of these were maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. But there are industries and there are businesses where it's still accepted. And I want to hear from our listeners. Text us at 98973. Do you work in a place where some of this kind of thing is still accepted? Or if you have your stories, because tons of people, and we're going to get into this because Chef, his name is Chef because he has a background in the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
You can attest to some of the things that happened.
This is one of
not with Jordan.
Yeah, this is one of those stories where you are not. I am not surprised seeing this because in nearly every restaurant environment that I have been in, sexual harassment has been normalized and par for the course. And when people come up I would say it is one of the worst. It can be one of the worst locker room environments to be in. Things are slowly changing, but it's not surprising. And I think the only reason that we're hearing about this story is because this guy has a very high profile. And honestly, it's someone that a lot of us have been rooting for. His food is amazing. His restaurants are amazing. Yeah. A lot of the people even that are cited in this article said he was an amazing mentor to them.
Yes.
But I think that there are hotel maids. There are people probably who were working in construction sites who are female, who deal with this kind of thing on a daily basis. Who do they report to? Those things will never become a story because the person involved, while they are in power over them as their employer, as their boss, they do not have a public profile.
You're absolutely right. And to be very clear, the accusations came from 15 women. The Times spoke to nearly 30 people. Not all of them had similar stories, but to have more than a dozen people make these kinds of accusations, you cannot ignore those. That's not a one- or two-time thing. That is a pattern that needs to be looked at.
No, can't ignore that at all. I mean, like I said, I was speechless. When I could not believe what I was reading. But then again, I mean, it's happened all over the country. It's happened with some of those other was it Mario Batali?
Yeah, Mario Batali, exactly. And he was someone who I loved watching on Iron Chef and on Food Network. And I was like, ooh, you know, he was accused of similar things. And there was another one. It's skipping me right now, and I know that other people are going to mention it. But yeah, this is not something that is unique to Eduardo Jordan. And again, these are accusations. He's not been convicted of anything, or these are accusations that need to be looked at. But in any case, why is this still happening? After all we've talked about, why does this continue to happen? And we'll talk about it more, and we want to share. If you have an experience that you want to share, send us a text at 98973. We'll talk about it more coming up at 10:30. Okay, still ahead, a road rage incident leads to a shooting near the Shilshol Bay Marina in Seattle. Did TikTok play a role? You're listening to The G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to The G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for spending time with us on this kind of dark Monday morning. Are TikTok meetups going to be a big problem this summer? As you guys know, I do enjoy going on TikTok I don't post anything, but I enjoy seeing what other people post and finding out the latest in dance moves, etc., in case I go dancing again. But the reason I'm asking about how they could be a problem this summer. Remember that big party on Alki Beach couple of weeks ago? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now police are worried that a party inspired by TikTok led to a road rage incident involving gunfire near the Shilshol Bay Marina on Saturday. Two people are injured after the shooting. Cairo 7 TV's Simni Kim has more.
A driver apparently shot someone on a motorcycle and another person behind them. One of the two was rushed to the hospital but is expected to survive the shooting. The other person turned down additional treatment. Officers were able to stop the driver after he tried to get away.
And Chef wanted to put in the question about, you know, is TikTok partially to blame? But I'd look at it this way. Is it just because of the parties or because this behavior, someone shooting at another person has nothing to do with TikTok? Do with just someone making a poor decision and people having a lack of respect for human life
And oh, just, I would disagree with you.
Yeah,
I would absolutely disagree with you.
Okay,
I think that any time that you you get a group of young teenagers, young adults together that do not know each other, if you've ever been to like a house party where a bunch of different groups of people showed up that were not from the same school, you have conflict. And when you have social media calling out everyone, hey, show up at this one location, I think the chances that you have incidents like this occurring go up exponentially.
Okay, so back in the day, what was before we had social media, what did we use? Because parties were a thing even when I was in high school, and that was, you know, in the 80s.
There's
what
nothing.
What did we do? The word spread quickly somehow.
The word spread. We got on the phone. You know what I'm saying?
Hit folks on the
two-way pager. Shout out to those who had the two-way pagers. Anyways, they nothing new up under the sun. When you have younger folks, older folks, you do make a good point, Chef. People coming together, they don't really know each other, get together. There is a possibility that some fights can break out and some problems can happen. This situation, in my opinion, you can't blame TikTok for this. This is somebody who had a gun in their car and decided to have a little bit of road rage. By the way, that's another problem in this country. Road rage is an issue. And by the way, if you do have road rage issues, take the gun out of your vehicle.
100%,
you don't
please.
Need the gun. You know, go ahead, flip somebody off, honk your horn. That should be your weapon.
Honking the horn
and flipping somebody off. That's your weapon.
Yeah, your vehicle is enough of a weapon. You don't need the gun on top of that.
No. So you have that. But back in, I've been to some situations where, yes, stuff popped off. There were some shootings in the past. So it's nothing new. I just don't think that TikTok should get the blame for this one right here. TikTok was the thing on Alki. TikTok was the thing. Where was it also? Huntington Beach?
Yes.
Was that in California?
Well, they are doing this thing. And TikTok has a huge reach. And I know there are people who are like, what is this TikTok thing? And why are you even talking about it? It is an app that a lot of people are on that they are able, it's just, you know, 60 seconds worth of video, but they're able to get a lot of people. You can get famous very quickly. You can get a huge following very quickly.
Now we're going into another layer of this, and this is something that I don't think parents are really prepared for. So let's just say that you're little Joey or little Tommy or Sarah, your child, is just a normal kid, goes to school every day. But somehow, some way, they do something fantastic, if you will, and it goes viral. And all of a sudden, they go from having maybe, you know, 250 followers, 500 followers, to 500,000 or maybe a million followers because of this amazing viral thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, parents, is this. Are you prepared for your son or daughter to become famous overnight? And what comes with that? These are something that you might think I'm crazy, but you might want to prepare for that. These are things that I don't wish anything on. The first time you see somebody telling your child, cussing your child out, calling your child names, doing all those things, maybe you could handle it for yourself. But as a parent, I'm telling you, it is a different type of strength and willpower that you have to have when it comes to restraining yourself from watching people go at your child.
Okay, I want to ask you about that because I know that you've dealt with it with your oldest son who, you know, obviously is playing college football and has a following and quite a large following on social media. But just in case anyone's wondering, well, why are you talking about this? There is a recent survey of kids between the ages of 11 to 16, and social media influencer and YouTube celebrity are number two and number three when it comes to the most popular jobs that children dream of. Doctor was still number one, so that maybe for some that's the good news. But there are now 50 million people worldwide who consider themselves creators or influencers on social media. Was it just last week when I talked to you about this young man who has stolen the hearts of middle-aged women all around the world now?
What's his name again?
Okay, his name is William White, but his tag name is Whitey18 on TikTok. Uh-huh. Okay, that's unfortunate. However, And everyone's telling him, stay humble, stay humble. The men on the app are saying, Whitey, would you go away, please? Because you've completely taken away our women. They're so focused on you. I've already seen now. I'm starting to look at this. He's 21 years old. He's having to come up with content. He has over, the last time I looked, it was over 12 million likes. He has over a million followers. This is overnight, in a week, because of middle-aged women. He has become this social media sensation, and now he's got his modeling career has launched. But I know I look at him and I think he looks like there's pressure now to constantly come up to keep feeding that. And you were talking about that, and there are people, they're trying to keep it really positive, but for many of these people, there was a New York Times profile on these influencers, and they're struggling with mental health issues now. That should come as zero surprise.
My son, I'll share this one with you. About 2 weeks ago, I cussed him out pretty good. I'm telling you guys the truth, all right? I got after him pretty good. And I'm always going to be dad. I'm never going to be a fan. I'm not one of those, we love you and all this kind of stuff. You're the greatest, whatever. I go off. I'm dad. And afterwards, about last week, we kind of got things back in order again a little bit. And one of the things, we had a good conversation, and he said something. He said, you know, Dad, it's real easy sometimes. He says he sees it amongst his friends, and he sees it amongst people that he hangs out with. Sometimes it's hard for them to get criticism from their parents or maybe their loved ones telling them, hey, telling them about themselves when they are in a bubble, in a world in which people are telling them on a daily basis how great they are.
True.
And worshiping them. And so the reason why I am so passionate about this, and I'm talking to you, even you like, oh, well, that wouldn't happen to my kid. You never know. You just absolutely never know when it happens, and to be prepared for that. And imagine being able to say, hey, little Johnny, go clean your room. And little Johnny's like, I ain't got to clean my room. I got 500,000 followers on social media that love me. It gets trickier than you think. And this is something I could probably talk about for 3 hours because it gets deep on what happens with this. But coming up next, when we need to talk, yo, I went to Winco yesterday and it finally hit me when I went to go grab some spicy mayo. By the way, spicy mayo is good. I went to go grab this spicy mayo and I'm like, whoa, when did this cost $5? Well, then it hit me, what's going on with the U.S. inflation that's going on? I'll explain that next. Gina. It is the Gina Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Sometimes headlines don't really tell you what's going on. And what I mean by that is in CBS News, there was a headline that says U.S. inflation sees biggest surge in nearly 13 years. Nope, that didn't get me. And then when you look deeper into it, it talked about how the Labor Department reported Thursday that the consumer prices had jumped 5% over the past year, the highest inflation rate in the United States since 2008. Ursula, nope, that didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
I'm still listening. Like, there's certain headlines that really don't hit us. You want to have a headline that hit us? Here's a headline. Hey, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that spicy mayo you like at the store, it's gone up by $2. Wait, what? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that gasoline that you was getting at about $3.30 a pop, it will now be $3.89 over the weekend. Wait,
$3.89? I'm calling that a bargain. It's over $4 everywhere I've seen.
Okay, so what I'm trying to show you guys, I'm trying to show you how certain headlines don't pop.
Yeah.
Until you're in a situation, Ursula.
Like, have you looked to see how much a pack of bacon costs? That's what I saw yesterday.
Yeah, like, your boy don't eat pork.
Oh,
your boy don't eat pork. But there are certain things. So anyways, the reason why we're talking about this, because now I'm paying attention, because I know everybody's been talking about it, how things have been raising prices and everything. But I went to go grab that spicy mayo. And by the way, spicy mayo is important because I put it on everything. It's like my ranch. You know what I mean? It's like my red hot. I put it on everything. Went to go grab the spicy mayo this weekend, Ursula. and that thing was over $5. Now, do you know I used to get some deals with this? I used to go ahead and get that on the sneak for like $250 in certain situations. In 2020, I was getting it for that. And so I got it for that. And then when I went to go get my gas, I noticed. So anyways, I'm bringing this up to say this. Food insecurity is already a big deal in our country. I remember there were times when my boys, we'd be out shopping and like, Dad, can we get this? And I'm like, oh, you can get one of those, or you can't. No, you can't get that this time because you're on a budget with your shopping. And what this past weekend reminded me of is so many people that are hurting for that extra $1 or $2 that is on those prices as they're getting their food. And now everything, the inflation, how it's jumped up the most since 2008, and now everything's going up. You want lumber? That's going up. Everything, used cars, that's going up. Ursula, it's crazy.
But you know what's not going up?
Oh, go ahead. You about to preach to the choir. Let me hear if you're going to say it. What's not going up,
wages
Ursula?
Wages aren't going up. Yeah, exactly. Pew, pew, pew. They're
exactly.
Not going up, at least, I mean, enough anyway.
Sure.
Obviously, you're going to hear from people say, yes, I am paying more now because there is this worker crisis.
Yeah.
Which, when was the last time we said that? Where I don't remember. I thought for sure that people were going to be desperate to get back to their work, desperate to find jobs, that we were just not going to have enough jobs for people to fill. And now it's, we cannot find enough people to work for us yet. You're going to need more money to pay for your bills because the cost of food, the cost of gas, the cost of housing, all of that has gone up incredibly.
Everything.
What is that going to look like 6 months from now, a year from now, a couple of years from now?
Ursula, you're paying over $4 a gallon for gas?
Yes. Unless
really?
I go to a Indian reservation where it's, you get really good deals. I want to tell you another thing where you're going to get a good deal. Gee, you talked about your spicy mayo.
Yeah.
Why don't you just put some spice into your mayonnaise? Just for your paint. Chef
Ursula?
Will tell me. Chef will agree with me, right, Chef?
Well, I would, but I know that G has like a pathological resistance to mayo as is. He told me that mayo was not allowed to be my favorite condiment. But if you buy it with the spicy stuff in it already, it's not technically mayo. Is that how it works,
so
G?
So you just squirt a couple of drops of sriracha into your mayo, and you have spicy mayo, and now you're still paying the cheap price of mayo, G.
You have to add an acid, like a vinegar or a little bit of lemon juice. That,
you have that
kit.
In your yep. cupboard. There you go.
You know
anyway,
what?
I love the
you know,
fact that
you know, you know
spicy
what I'm gonna
mayo
do?
Was the one thing that stood out to you. I'm just going to tell you right now, I went to the grocery store. Yes, mm-hmm. Bacon was more expensive. Veggies more expensive. The grapes were on sale. You can always find a good deal on grapes if they're in season. But you're right. It is much more expensive right now, and you're seeing it, and yes, I worry for what we're going to be dealing with soon.
The other day, you offered some cherries. I should have took you up on that, because them cherries gone up too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to post a picture of the spicy mayo that I use all the time. Hey, coming up next, Colleen Echohawk, candidate for Seattle mayor, will join the G and Ursula Show. It's G and Ursula.